Some of us have grandchildren. Some of us have great-grandchildren. But we want to be a good example. You want to be a good example of a mother, grandmother, great-grandmother to all of your children. Amen? And so I want to take a look at Jesus. I want to take a look at Jesus. Amen? And so, Kathy, I'm going to pray, but you can pray again if you want to when you come back. Praise God. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you for this time that we have together. And I pray that every person under the sound of my voice will have open ears to hear here today. I pray not only that the ones here in the sanctuary will be blessed, but that those that are watching the live stream will be blessed as well by the word of God. May they receive some answers for their lives. And Father, not only are we ministering to the mothers, but we're ministering to the sons and to the daughters. We're ministering to the husbands. Hallelujah. That we may be more perfect in our service to you and our love for one another. So thank you, Father, and we give you glory. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Hallelujah. In the Gospel of John, chapter 19, the Gospel of John, chapter 19, in the 19th chapter, Jesus had been brought before Pilate. And I'm not going to read this whole chapter, just probably two or three verses. Well, maybe a little more than that. I want to read especially the first two or three. The Gospel of John 19. It says, "So then Pilate took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers twisted a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put on him a purple robe. Then they said, 'Hail, King of the Jews.' And they struck him with their hand." So you see here that Jesus was being crucified. And not only did they strike him, they whipped him, and Jesus was innocent. He was an innocent man. Pilate brought him before the crowd and said, "I find no fault in him." But yet they screamed, "Crucify him, crucify him, crucify him." That bunch was full of hatred and bitterness. And so, finally, Pilate released Jesus. I mean, just sorely mistreated, and I know this is not Easter, but I'm taking you somewhere. They were just brutal to him. He was hanging on the cross. They had put nails in his hands, nails in his feet. And he was hanging on the cross. He was hanging there in excruciating pain. Think about it, folks. Had nails in his hand, nails in his feet. And the weight of his body, I mean, that's what was holding up his body. So he was in excruciating pain. Think about it for a moment. But in all of the pain that he was in, We drop down to verse 25. Drop down there for me, with me. It says, now there stood by the cross of Jesus, who? His mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. Now understand, Jesus is hanging there bleeding in pain. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, woman, behold your son. Then he said to the disciple, behold your mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her to his own home. I want you to notice something here. In all the pain and agony that Jesus was in, he never forgot his mother. When she walked up there, he said to John, now you have to understand, John wrote the book of John, and he wrote it as he was moved by the Holy Spirit, by the Holy Ghost. But it refers to John as that disciple that Jesus loved, and Jesus did love John. But as he was hanging on the cross, he was looking down at the crowd. He saw his mom, his mother. And he spoke out to his mother and told her, mother, behold your son. Mother, look at your son. Well, who was he talking about? He was talking about John. He was talking about John. He was telling his mother, she was watching her son hang on a cross, an innocent man being punished for something he didn't do. Matter of fact, he was there because of us. Somebody say amen. And he's hanging there, but he didn't forget his mother. And he says, mom, see your son? In other words, Jesus was saying, I'm going away, but you still have a son. Y'all listening to me? I'm going away, but you still have a son. And then he looked at John and said, John, take a look. That's your mom. That's your mom, John. And I am expecting you, John, to treat her as a mother. She is my mother. She brought me onto this earth. I love my mother. The Bible doesn't say anything about Joseph at this point, so I'm not even sure, and I'll be honest with you myself. I need to do some further study on that, but I'm not even sure at this point if Joseph was still living. I'm not sure if he was still living. But he was telling John, I am leaving. I've got to go. But I'm leaving my mama in good hands. Well, let me say it this way. Husbands, sons, and daughters. I'm here to tell you right now, should I be the shortest liver in my family? And I want my family to live a long life. But should I be the shortest liver in my family? I expect my boys, including my daughters, to take good care of their mom. Y'all hear me? Hey, say amen upstairs, guys. Say it loud. Don't run at me. Say amen. What about you, Sid? Say it again. Hallelujah. Take good care. That group up there shy. I don't know where they get it from. They didn't get it from the mama. But you take, and that's what Jesus was doing. Jesus knew he had to go. But he was going to make sure that mama was well taken care of. And if you read history, you will find out that John took her in. And he took very good care of her. And he treated her like his own mother. Mothers deserve respect. Mothers deserve to be loved. No, mothers are not perfect. None of us are.
Hands off.
None of us are perfect. But mothers deserve love and respect. Amen. Praise God. Give her another hand. She can praise the name of the Lord. Amen.
I think I'm on, right? Yes, yes. Good morning and happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. Father, we thank you this morning for this opportunity. We love you. We appreciate you. We thank you for your son, Jesus, and we thank you for the blood of Jesus and the word of God. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I just want to talk to you about something simple this morning. But before I do, I have some quotes that I've made to my children. And I don't even know if they remember them, but and these quotes may have meant more to me than to them, because sometimes when you're a teenager or a young child, and I'm talking about myself, I wish so many times that I would have asked my mom more questions. I wish so many times that I would have asked my mom about different situations growing up. But I didn't. But anyway, these are a few quotes that I would make to my children from time to time. It's not where you start out in life, it's where you finish up. It's not where you start, it's where you finish up. Another one is, stay with God. Seek him for inventions, ideas. Stay with God, and one day you will become a millionaire. These are some quotes that I tell to them when they were young. No matter what you do or how far you go, I know the Spirit of God lives inside of you, and I believe you will be all God has called you to be. That's another quote I would make to them. And this is the last one. As long as you seek to please God in all you do, and keep him number one in your life, and loving God with all your heart, you have pleased us as parents. That's what we call being successful. These are some of the quotes that I have spoken over them and said to them. And I was reminiscing yesterday, and even this could have still brought me, could bring me to tears. And I don't know why, but I'm just telling you. James took me out for Mother's Day. We only had the two boys, and we went out to Mother's Day, and thank God we had enough money to feed all four. God provided. He had to borrow it, but that's okay. Because you know what happens? Sometimes people will look at you and think you've always been where you are today, and that is not the case. That is not the case. I remember driving a car to work with no heat and didn't have any air. Remember it raining and the water dripping down on my toes. But I said, but God, one day I'm going to have one and that's not going to happen to me. But I was thankful for that car Because it you know, had a motor and a transmission in it, some seats, so we could go. Matter of fact, that might have been, no, that wasn't the same car. But anyway, he took me out to, we went out to eat in Florence, and this was just so special to me. And I had gotten enough money to buy my two boys a box of Crayola crayons. Not just the 8, it was 64 crayons in that box. And I was one excited and happy mama. And new coloring books. That meant so much to me. But then after we ate and came back, and the two boys probably don't even remember, I could have cried and could still cry to this day. The crayons melted. It was so hot in the car that part of the crayons melted, and it just touched my heart. Finally got a big box of 64 crayons, and now part of them had melted. But they still had the coloring books, and they still had what was left over of their crayons. So it's just little things like that. So this morning, I want to talk to you. Lord, I just want to be a good mama. How many of you like that? I just want to be a good mama. I still want to be a good mama to my grown children. I just want to be a good mama. That's all I want to be. It's just to be a good mama. Because that entails a whole lot. Much more than what you can see on the outside. Much more. So there's 4 ways that we can help navigate motherhood. And it's, you got to navigate it. You know, it's just not a fly-by-night thing. You've just got to, you got to roll with the punches and go with it. You got to go with it. But number one, we need to pray and ask God for help. James 1:5 says, and most of you know what that says, if any man lack wisdom, what is he supposed to do? Ask God. But sometimes we don't want to ask God, do we? Sometimes we want to ask everybody else and think of everything else, but don't go to God. But we need to go to him. Ask him for wisdom. Pray and ask God for wisdom. Ask him to give you strength. How many of you know we need strength? We need strength to navigate motherhood. You've got to have strength and wisdom. You've got to have strength just to make it through the day. Sometimes without losing your own mind. Sometimes you got to just have to have prayer and pray and ask God for wisdom, because some days you just want to curl up on the couch, get a blanket, cover your head up, and cry till the sun go down. You really do. You know, we are in church. We are spirit-filled. We do love God. We do pray in tongues. We do all of that. But do that excuse you? Is that going to take you away from the feelings that you have? Is that going to take you away from your emotions? Is that going to take you away from the connection that you have with your children? You still got to deal. We still have to deal with what we are going through. Because sometimes you just want to be by yourself. You just want to go and think about, God, what did I get myself into? I didn't ask for all of this, you know? But we need to ask God for wisdom. And sometimes is, you know, we want to think months and months and years ahead. Sometimes you can't do that. Sometimes just take one day at a time. Just take an hour at a time. Sometimes we really just have to take an hour or a day at the time. Because if we would look beyond where we are now, we could get frustrated over some things we see. We could get frustrated over some maybe choices that your children have made or choices that we have made. But no, we're just going to pray and ask God to give us wisdom, right? Number one, so what we're going to do? Pray and ask God to give us wisdom. And ask us, and also ask him to show us how to cope with our children. Do you know each child is different? Each one of them are totally different. They are different. So we need to have a heart to love them. And listen to them when they talk. Listen to your children. So ask God to give you a heart to listen and to lead and teach them how to love God. Teach them how to respect authority. We need to teach them how to respect authority and teach them how to become adults. You know, my daddy taught me how to budget. He taught me how to shop. He taught me how to spend, and he taught me how to save. And I carried that right on. I have carried that right on into my adulthood. Just simple things in life. Sometimes we look for the big, but sometimes it's just the simple things in life. The other thing that we need to do to help navigate is listen to God. So we're going to pray for wisdom, and then we're going to listen to God. Like I said, and listen to our children. Do you know children have hurts? Do they have disappointments? They have concerns? So we need to listen with an open heart when they talk to us. And also a shoulder to cry on sometimes. Just let them know. Always keep an open door for your children. Always keep an open door. Let your children know that there is nothing that they can ever do that's going to close you off from them. If and God forbid that any of this should happen, God forbid, but if your daughter ends up getting pregnant, always have an open door. If your son should get one pregnant, someone pregnant, always have an open door. If they got a ticket for speeding, always have an open door. If they've gotten into some type of trouble that have just made you, you know, like, I can't believe it. Always have an open door for your children to come to you. Always do that. And encourage them. Encourage. Let them know. Well, you may be here now, but things are subject to change. Hey, everybody make mistakes. You wasn't the first one that this happened to, and you won't be the last one. So do encourage your children. And Proverbs 22:6 says, can I have Proverbs 22:6 in the New Living, please? I'm thinking that's what, train them in the right way, and when they're old, they won't depart. Train them in the right way, and when they're old, they won't depart. Train them in the right way. Direct your children onto the right path. And when they are what? Older. They will not leave it. Why? Because that word is on the inside of them. And the word of God says, his word does not return into him void. So it's not going to come back empty. So no matter what it looks like on the outside, no matter what it seems like or how they may be acting, just know that the word of God is still on the inside of them. And also, I want to remind you moms and everyone else as well, be the example that you want them to become. Be what you want your children to become. Be that way to them. Now, 1 Timothy verses 1, 1 through 5, 2 Timothy 1, verse 1 through 5, it talks about Paul talking to Timothy. He wrote him a letter. And he said, now, Timothy, I know something about you. I know that the faith that you have, the strong faith that you have, Timothy, your grandmother Lois passed it down to your mom, Eunice. And now, Eunice, your mom has passed it down to you. And the strong faith that I see in you, Timothy, I know you're going to hold dear to that. I know that you're going to walk in it. Now, the thing about it is, Timothy is following in the footsteps of his grandmother and of his mom. So what is that saying to us? Pass on what you know. Pass on what you know. Because the faith that his grandmother had, then his mom, and now Timothy has it. So then you must ask yourself, I'm going to pass on my faith too. I'm going to pass it on to my grandchildren. I'm going to pass it on to my children, my grandchildren, and then my children are going to pass it on to their children. And we just keep it going. We just keep it going. Amen? We keep it going. And we need to trust God to lead us. Trust God to lead you and ask him to show you how to lead your children again. And sometimes, you know, in the raising of our children, that word of God, sometimes we want to say, well, just forget it. I'm tired. I've told her this over and over and over. I've told him this over and over and over. Just forget it. And you feel like telling him, make it the best way you can, because I've already told you one time. I'm tired of telling you. But no, we have to do what? Stay with it. Stay with it. And we might even say to ourselves, good gracious, nobody told me it was going to be like this. Was y'all surprised when your children started getting 10, 12, and 14, becoming teenagers? And then it's like, wow, the changes that they are going through. But then just remember, you used to be there too. Always think about it. Always think about it. So we can't be pointing the finger and say, I don't know what's wrong with him and why she's acting like this. We used to act the same way. So we used to have some of the same issues going on in our lives. So we should always keep an open door, right? So we're going to stay with it, and you're going to make it. You're going to make it. And this is another thing right here. If we're not careful, you know, we can get tired of being a mama. We can get tired of homework. We can get tired of signing forms. We can get tired of running to the ball field. We can get tired of running, you know, taking them to the band practice, taking them to the football games. You can just get tired sometimes and drained. But after a while, they'll be gone. You have the rest of the years for yourself. They don't stay in school forever. At that time, it seems like it's forever. But trust me, 10, 12 years can come and go. Just like that. Just like that. So we need to make sure that we continue to trust God to lead us. And sometimes if we're not careful, we will look to our pastor, our Sunday school teachers, our teachers at school to raise our children. Well, if you know, we'll look to that. Really, that's just icing on the cake. That's just, they're just alongside to help us. But we as parents are the one to do the training and the teaching. So we're to do the training and the teaching. That's what we should do. So, and teach them how to love God and how to grow in God. And I want us to look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. How many teenagers we have in here that has a cell phone on you right now? Raise your hand if you got your cell phone. I want you to take your cell phone if you have the Bible app, and I want you to go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. And if you don't have the Bible app, we'll read it from here. But I really want every person, if you got a cell phone or if you got a piece of paper to write on, I want you to really listen to what I'm about to read to you. Okay. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. I want everybody, all eyes reading it. Grandmas, papas, the children, you're old enough to read. I want you looking at this scripture. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, New Living. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. When we get a chance, let's get it on the screen for the children that don't have it. Okay, let's see here. Stand up. We're going to read it together. I want everybody just to stand up. You got your Bibles. We're going to read it. I want all the children to stand up. I want you to stand up. Now, we've talking about praying and asking God to give us that wisdom, right? Yes. All right. Let's read that. Now, I'm going to read this to you. Now, this is what the parents are saying to you children, and this is what the Word of God is saying to us. But you must remain faithful to the things you have been taught. Listen, to the things that you have been taught. Children, raise your hand if you got it, if everybody find it. Teenagers, everybody, raise your hand if you got it, because we want it. Okay. But you must remain faithful to the things you've been taught. So this is parents, this is what we are saying to our children. This is what we are saying to our grandchildren. You must remain faithful to the things you have been taught. You know they are true. The word that we teach you, you know is true. For you know you can trust those who taught you. Can't you trust your parents? Can you not trust your grandparents? All right, next verse, please. Remain faithful to what you've been. Now, you've been taught the Holy Scriptures from childhood. We've all been taught the Holy Scripture from childhood. And we're even teaching our little ones now, because I see it every time Callie comes to church. She loves the Lord. She loves the Lord and loves to praise God. You've been taught the Holy Scriptures from childhood. They have given you wisdom to receive the salvation that comes by trusting in Christ Jesus. Now, salvation means everything that we need, everything we need from God, wisdom, direction, peace, whatever we need, it is coming from God. It has been given to have given you. Okay, you have been taught the Holy Scriptures from childhood, and they have given you the wisdom to receive the salvation that comes by trusting in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lucas, stand right there for a minute. Stand right there by Papa. I want you to look at this. I want you to look at this word right here, because I know you know one of these words, okay? This is our grandson. He's going to look at this scripture, and he's going to always pick out one word in this scripture, and he's going to remember it for the rest of his life, because his grandma said he will. Right, Lucas? So you just look at that. You have been taught the Holy Scriptures from childhood. They have given you the wisdom to receive the salvation that comes by trusting in Christ Jesus. So now we all can see, Lucas, you see that? We all can see that we've been taught the Holy Scriptures. We've been taught the Holy Scriptures. Of verse 16. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. Isn't that good news? Amen. It helps us to realize it. He might need to be excused. So go ahead, Lucas. I think he was on a mission. I just want him to see that. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. Listen what the Word of God does. Teens, children, grandmoms, papas. Look what the Word of God does. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what? What is right. Isn't that good? It teaches us to do what is right. One more scripture, and then I'm going to let you be seated. One more scripture. Let's see what it says. One more. God uses it, wow, look at this. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. You may be seated. God uses the word to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. All right. He equips us. All right, the last one is, learn to let them go. That was a tough one for me. Learn to let them go and find their purpose in life. Let God give you the peace you need to allow them to become adults. Don't look at your failures. Don't look at how you missed it. Don't look at any of that. I want you to look at the ways that you have made it right, the things that you did do right. I don't want you concentrating from this day on. I don't want you concentrating on how bad you were, how I missed it. I was a terrible mom. No, let's concentrate on the right things that we did going forward, right? Okay, I want us to look at Psalm 119, verses 55. 119, verse 55. We're going to ask God for wisdom, and we're going to believe God's giving it to us, right? Let God give you the peace that you need to allow them to become adults and grow up. It's tough. It's tough watching your children grow up. It's tough letting them go. But we do have to do that, okay? We have to do that. Psalm 119, 55. And while they're getting that, I don't want you to be moved by what you see. Don't be moved by what you see in your children. Don't be moved by what you hear. Don't be moved by their lifestyles. Don't be moved by the choices they've made. Just know that you've made the right choice because you have endeavored to put the word of God in them, and it's not coming back void. It's not going to come back empty. So you know that. Psalm 119, verse 55. Okay, y'all just find it in your Bibles. I'm going to find it in mine. Psalm 119, verse 55 says, I remember, I reflect at night on who you are, O Lord. Therefore, I obey your instructions. I reflect at night on who you are, O Lord. Therefore, I obey your instructions. That goes back to a lot of times when your children are growing up or have grown up and they're still in the home possibly and they're going different places, doing different things. You don't know where they are. You're praying that they are safe. You hope they got there saved. Give me a call when you get there or have a little marker on the cell phone so that you will know what's going on and where they are. But in the nighttime, sometimes when you're quiet and when you're still, the devil can come and play with your mind. Well, I wondered, did they get there? I hope they got there. Don't hear a rescue squad. Oh, goodness, you're looking at your watch. Oh, I hope it wasn't them. Wonder what color car it was. Oh, thank you, Jesus. It wasn't a red one. Oh. And you pass by and you see these different things going on when there's accidents or whatever. Or late at night, your mind, you can't get it still because you're thinking about them, hoping this and hoping that and just just in a tizzy, or you can't rest or whatever because you're worried. That's the word, worried. But he said in the nighttime, I reflect at night on who you are, O Lord. Therefore, I obey your instruction. We have to reflect on God and what he is to us. We have to remember what he is to us. Let's look at verse 65. Okay. You have done many good things for me, Lord, just as you promised. He's promised to do a lot of good things for us, hasn't he? And he has done just that. So I want you to remember what you taught them. Don't let your emotions overwhelm you. Remember the prayers you prayed for them. Remember to trust God to work all things for their good. Do you know remember is in the Old and New Testament over 240 times? So that's telling us, remember what God did. Remember, he's going to take care of your children. Remember to ask him for wisdom. And also, your children are never too far from God that he can't reach them. Remember that. Your children are never too far from God that he can't reach them. And also know that you have the Holy Spirit to help you raise your children, to give you the peace that you need. So what are you going to do? You're going to trust God. You're going to pray. You're going to trust God, you're going to ask God, and you're going to let them go. Let them go and let them grow up. Help them become the adults. Help them become what God wants them to become. Amen. And ask God for the wisdom to be everything you need to be. All right, short, sweet, to the point. That's it. Happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. And asking God for that wisdom and praying, leading, teaching, guiding. And children, remember what your parents have taught you and put inside of you. All right. Mothers, you go home, eat your ham, green bean casserole, turkey rings, fried chicken, collard bread, corn, biscuits, green beans. Hallelujah. Love you, ladies. Love everyone. God bless you.